Today we're going to talk about the legend of Pablo Plantain. Welcome to the show, Pablo.
Hello, everybody.
Before we start, I was at the store yesterday and I wanted to give you guys something that reminds me of you, Alex, and you, Pablo.
Because you guys, I would have gotten you something.
A lot to me. Yes, so
I'm so unprepared for this.
I got this. Sorry, audio viewers.
It's rice?
I have a bag of rice. And bag of rice for Alex.
Okay.
Oh, that's cool.
Why I only got half a bag of rice?
Because you are half Asian, Alex. And I am full Asian. I get a full bag of rice. Pablo, you get nothing.
Oh.
Because you're not Asian.
Why'd you start it with I have gifts for everyone?
I wanted to make you feel included, sir.
Oh.
He likes rice.
I feel so included. I love rice.
Just say thank you, guys.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Very welcome, guys.
Alex, you're supposed to wash it, right?
Yeah. So that's probably pesticides, yeast, genitalia. Who knows? How's that rice? Smile. Let me see that rice in your teeth. I'm so happy you're enjoying my gift, Alex. Nani? So Pablo, welcome to the show, sir.
Hello, riceless Pablo.
Your fault.
Guys, it's about the consideration of all human beings that kind of contradicts the matter, dude. Like, you don't have to give me an attitude. I gave you guys rice.
There's no attitude. I'm just stating a fact. I don't have rice.
There's literal rice right there.
Where?
Use your imagination, sir.
Oh, so there's imagination rice?
Imagine, that's better than regular rice.
Oh, Roy, you shouldn't have. I have imagination rice. Whoa, this is mango sticky rice.
Oh, there you go.
Wow,
you got mango sticky rice.
I'm gonna
look at that.
Do you guys
like
have imaginary friends?
Growing up?
Yeah.
No, I tried my best,
Me
actually.
Too.
Did you?
I did.
No way.
I did, but he wasn't real.
Like, you actually, like, saw your imaginary friend?
I never saw him. I just used him.
What do you mean you used him?
It sounds bad, but what I would do is I would ask for seconds for my imaginary friend, because I was, like, a chubby kid, so I'd be like, hey, Mom, he's hungry, too, and then I would get seconds.
So your mom would always give you...
She gave me seconds for, like, the first few times, and then after she just started taking it from my plate, like, oh, you should share with him then, because she's like, I know what you're doing.
Dang, dude.
And then what would you do? Would you give him half your plate?
There'd be a second plate, and she would split it, and then I would eat his part too, because he wasn't hungry.
That's wild,
what
dude.
What was his name?
Manuel.
Manuel?
Yeah, Manuel.
I wish I had an imaginary friend. I really did try.
I really did also.
You know what else I tried to do when I was a kid? Make a energy ball like in Dragon Ball.
No way.
Yeah,
you conjured the energy of the spirits?
I tried. My friend was like, my friend in elementary school, he's like, oh, when I'm in the shower and I turn off the lights and I focus energy and then I can see it on my finger. And I believed him 100%.
No.
Yeah, I would be in the shower for an hour. My mom's like, what are you doing there? I was like, nothing, I'm 14, leave me alone.
No,
I was a kid and I remember
harnessing a different kind of energy.
I tried really hard. It never worked.
Dude, did you guys ever hear that theory going back to imaginary friends? Like, the reason why kids have imaginary friends that they see is it's not actually an imaginary friend. It's demons.
Damn.
Because demons and ghosts are likely to attach to younger kids because they're more free. They're more innocent.
Yeah.
Damn, my demon was hungry.
Your demon was... Manuel was a hungry demon.
Yeah, Manuel was a hungry demon. He just wanted real food, but he couldn't eat it because he's invisible.
Dang.
It was like see-through, so, you know, it would just go through him.
Was there any food that you didn't like as a kid, but you eat it now?
Broccoli with cheese.
What? You didn't like that?
No.
What? I love that. That's the only way I ate broccoli as a kid.
Broccoli with cheese? It's so good now.
But you liked broccoli, just not with cheese.
I hate broccoli and cheese.
Oh, did you have anything?
I wasn't a picky eater at all.
I popcorn gave me a headache when I was
a
kid. Just the smell of popcorn gave me a headache. I don't know why.
Whoa,
and I also didn't like eggs and I didn't like mustard. But now I don't mind it.
What do you eat now?
Everything.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm on that Manuel diet.
The Manuel diet?
Yeah.
Because I always known you as a picky eater growing up.
I was, yeah.
Yeah,
was.
Yeah. Now your palate has increased slightly.
So my story started when I was born. Really, yep. When my parents had me. Okay. I think that's a good time to start my life journey.
Were you the first?
I was the middle child.
Middle child. Mm-hmm.
I was the middle child.
How many siblings?
Two sisters, one older, one younger. And we were just some LA kids. I was born in LA.
Yeah. If you guys know Pablo, he's hosted a lot of our shows on Wasabi. He's also known as Pablo Plantain. But people know him as Hi Pablo on his socials. And he is a fan favorite of hosting.
He is also the head writer of Wasabi Productions.
Wasabi.
How do you like that job?
I like it. It's a lot of fun. You know, you get paid to pretend all day. Me and Manuel love it.
You can. Oh, whoa,
Manuel's here.
Manuel's here. He gives me all
the
ideas.
He's right here with the shades, dude.
Yeah, he gives me all the ideas.
What? Are you hungry?
Yeah.
He speaks English too.
Yeah. Well.
So you were born in L.A.?
Yeah. Monterey Park specifically.
Whoa! Did not know that.
If somebody's trying to steal my identity, that's what you write in. What city were you born in?
Mm-hmm.
I spent like a lot of my childhood there. And I could see the Dodger Stadium lights from my room.
Oh, wow.
So when they were playing, I could see the lights. And that was like always kind of romantic to me. And I was like, yeah, one day I'll have season tickets.
Oh, wow. You know what we should do like later on in life? Buy that house.
Damn.
Right?
The apartment complex?
Mm-hmm. Or whatever is near there.
Damn. Just that'd be like, oh, yeah.
This is where I saw the lights.
Yeah.
That you way. Ever catch a foul ball like they do in the movies?
No. Never? I've been close. When I was a kid, I was always like trying to. I was kind of a shy kid, so I never like got when my parents were like pushing me to go.
Yeah.
Because there'd be like a Dodger player and they'd be like, go talk to him. I'm like, I don't f*** know him.
Yeah.
That's an old man.
Manuel, you go talk to him.
How was it growing up in Los Angeles? Because we're both from North Carolina.
Yeah.
It's different. I just want to know like your perspective.
Well, you get used to like suburban life really easy. Like helicopters were not a big deal to me.
Oh wow, we don't have those.
Yeah, there was just helicopters out all the time.
Now they are, yeah.
Yeah.
My house, our house, we moved in together.
We moved in together. We took the next step.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow, you guys are roommates.
Yeah,
we're roommates.
Oh, wow.
And they were roommates.
Oh wow, I was once roommates with this guy.
How was it? Any tips?
Oh, our relationship roommates, not good. I was also young.
Yeah.
Didn't really communicate. Having roommates is kind of hard.
It is.
It was a lot at once because we were working together, we were living together, and we just moved to the other side of the country alone.
Yeah.
So it was a lot.
I'm 2 for 3 in that. On.
The what?
We worked together. We lived together. We didn't move across the country, but
not
that's
yet.
2 for 3. You're taking me to New York? To the other
Lincoln Heights?
Okay. One advice as a former Alex roommate, communicate.
Yeah.
Because I've had roommates in the past, and we all get passive-aggressive, especially, like, one thing roommates argue about the most, dishes.
Oh.
Absolutely dishes.
Just I don't think we do. Because I enjoy doing dishes, and also Alexis likes doing the dishes also.
Well.
Yeah, that's what they all say. And then time goes on, they're like, all right, guys, don't expect me to do this all the time. Trust me. Trust me on this. It's gonna gather.
Well, a lot of times Alexis will cook and then somebody will volunteer to do the dishes. Mm-hmm. But I think she knows very well that I'm down to. I like taking out the trash. I like sweeping. I like vacuuming.
Yeah.
I like laundry. But I just don't like the dishes
because
it's not gross, but it's gross.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just like I don't like my condiments touching. So seeing a plate full of different food. Stuff that are like mixed together. I use paper plates.
Oh. He does. And I didn't get that. My mom would not touch the paper plates unless we were having company over.
Yeah.
So to see like people eating on paper plates, I'm like, what the f***?
I don't want to add more work for Alexis. I don't mind.
Oh, yeah. Where do you think your comedy humor, where'd you find inspiration for like your comedy and your silliness, your
my
funniness?
Mom and dad are very funny, both on purpose and on accident.
Yeah I
feel like my dad kind of doesn't realize he did something funny, and then he's like, what's everybody like? And then you explain it to him and he's like, oh, that is funny. He's like, damn, I wish I would have said that on purpose.
Yeah and I
feel like my career has been like that a lot. Like it's moments that I have that people are like, oh, that was really funny how you did that. You were really in tune with that character.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't even realize I was doing that. And but yeah, my mom and dad are funny, and I could always make people laugh. And that was, when I was a kid, it was always my way of getting out of trouble. Because teachers, I'd always be like, oh, I can make her laugh.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Or I can make them laugh. And then I'd like, would find out a type of comedy that they liked. And then I would literally just
spam it
yeah. just over and over and over. And so there's like this like second grader that's making these old references. And yeah. then you're like Harpo Marx and stuff. I learned about Harpo Marx. Who, do you guys know the Marx Brothers?
Dude, I don't know pop rap. I'm too young, man. I'm literally like 2 years younger than you, bro. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, the Marx Brothers are like way before my time, too.
Like the guys who flew the planes.
No. That's the Wright Brothers. The Marx Brothers was like Groucho with the fake mustache. You know those glasses that they sell on Halloween with the eyebrows and the mustache and the big nose? Yeah, that's supposed to be after Groucho.
Oh.
And so there was three of them originally. Four of them, if you count the other one, Bippo or Chico or whatever. And so it was like Groucho, Harpo, and damn, what's the third one?
Dude, don't, you're asking me?
Yeah. Any old people in the house? Manuel? And they all kind of had their own thing, where like Groucho was like kind of like the ringleader, and he would get himself in situations.
Mm-hmm.
And then Harpo would just do like physical comedy. And then Chico was like just a lover's, like he would just fall in love with every girl that was like in the movie. So they all had like their prototype. And that kind of taught me a lot about comedy, that everything kind of falls into a prototype of things that have been funny, like even in caveman days, I believe.
Oh, the Marx Brothers, like Ed, Ed, and Eddie.
Yeah. There's a lot, like the Pep Boys are kind of based on them too. It's like, it's all just this one big long chain. But
do you have
any
examples from school? Like you got in trouble and then you made them laugh and you got out of it?
Yeah. Well, there was this white teacher, and this is important because her favorite joke was to call me Juan 2-3.
Uh-huh.
Because my legal name is Juan.
Yeah.
And so,
bro.
So she would say Juan 2-3, and I didn't like it, and I knew the joke, but I would pretend like it was like the funniest thing.
What was she, a white lady?
Yeah, she was a white
lady.
Sounds
like a white lady joke.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She found it hysterical, and there was like, I think her aide was Mexican, her aide would just be like, but there was that joke, and then there's like, let's see, Miss Engtel, loved, like, when I would do impressions of either people, like, other faculty or, like, famous people.
Yeah.
And, so that's how I got out of stuff. In high school, like, my senior year, I was, like, one credit short of graduating.
Yeah.
And then I asked the teacher just like, can I have a credit? And she's like, I can't just give you a credit. And then I just like kind of made her laugh. And then she like, she's like, all right, fine. Go volunteer for this thing and I'll give you an extra credit. And I got an extra credit and I graduated.
Wow.
Yeah, that happened to me a lot. I spent a lot of time in trouble. In detention, in the principal's office. And it was like a game, get in trouble. Every week I got in trouble for something. Usually it was for disrupting the class. And then, I would go to the principal's office and then get out of it. Make them laugh. Cry, maybe.
I envy you guys.
It depends on who I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
If it's like an emotional person, then I'll cry. If it's like...
Damn.
Yeah.
This is manipulation.
Yeah, well, I had to get out of it somehow.
Dang, bro. That's... You still be doing that to me.
Yeah.
He made me cry last night.
Yeah.
Wait, you
cried last night?
Yeah.
How? What?
You remember you talked to me last night and I started crying.
What?
See, he doesn't even know he does this thing. He like manipulates so
he's
hard,
manipulating
bro.
Me by saying I'm a manipulator, yes.
So, Pablo, you said you grow up like a little shy, right?
Yeah.
But then you started using like humor. How did you do that? Because I grew up shy like as
Yeah.
And I wanted to be as humorical as Alex. So what was like the thing?
I don't know. I think in second grade, my parents put me like in this performing arts class. And then I got to like, I got a taste of laughs.
You just got addicted to the feeling
I got addicted
of
to it.
Attention.
Mm-hmm. In the fourth grade, I did a play And then when I went out, I heard somebody saying, like, we can't hear you from the audience. There was, like, a dad heckling the show.
No
way. It was Midsummer Night's Dream. And then I went out and I yelled because, you know, he said,
yeah,
we can't hear you. And then after that, he went, yeah! And then the whole audience went, yeah! And then I went back and I was like, guys, we have to be loud.
Yeah.
They can't hear us.
Aw.
And, yeah, it's just that, like, that allows me to just break out of my shell. I think I'm still a timid person.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you first meet me, like if you see me out in the store, I'm just probably like in my thoughts,
mm-hmm,
just thinking about stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. What was your first impression of me? Like, was I shy? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think you're more reserved because like, I think you're similar to me where you feel more comfortable when you find out their humor.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, and then you can like target your, yeah, or tailor your humor for them.
Yeah.
So I usually, yeah, am like, try to figure out the person first and then open up.
When I first met you, it was like for a guava juice shoot. I didn't even see your face most of the day because you were wearing a mask. Because we were filming a Squid Game video, and it's like one of the people who like shoots the contestants if they do wrong. So
yeah,
you always had the mask with the triangle. So I didn't know what you looked like until the end of the day.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that?
Yeah,
that's the first time I have a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I was in the mask, I did not have enough like foresight to know that you couldn't see my face.
Yeah.
But I was still like, hi, Roy. It's a pleasure to meet you. But like, you can't see it, so you just saw a black thing.
I just
and you're
saw
like,
a thing.
There's a guy in there.
Yeah.
But inside, I was like, oh, he's looking at me.
Oh,
man.
I remember that was one of the first times we like clapped or something, and I was excited, and I brought Andrew, and then I saw Pablo and I was like, whoa, because mm-hmm, it was like two worlds, like from two different worlds. I was like, oh, this is from Aaron's and, yeah, David's group and,
yeah,
then from your group. So it was weird, yeah, seeing you guys together. And then he was like, oh, yeah,
who let you out of your cage?
OK, can you explain how your life led to the path of meeting first Alex and then me eventually? So you,
yeah,
were born here and then you went to school in Long Beach, correct?
Yeah, I went to college in Long Beach, but
yes,
for high school I went to Paramount,
uh-huh,
and Pirates.
Pirates!
I have to do that or like
too,
drop a
ECU
P.
ECU too.
Oh, wow.
Andrew's college,
double,
yeah,
Pirates.
If there's any Pirates out there, they're all like, once a pirate, always a pirate. Puro pinche Paramount.
Gum gum!
Yeah.
Pirate.
Exactly.
Yeah. Pirate.
But we had a strange school situation because it was like, it was inner city, but it was like getting cleaned up and it was like on its way to get cleaned up. So there was still like riots and fights, but
yeah,
we also had like the best calculus team in America. Yeah.
That's random.
It's so random. And then we had like a gifted program, and then we had orchestra, and we had like all these, like we had a golf team. I was the captain,
what,
of the golf team for 3 years.
Were you guys good?
We were not good, but we would have some wins.
Wow.
We would like hope that the other team was having like their worst day possible. And you've played golf before, so you know it's possible to beat anybody.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
He plays golf, by the way, so any sponsorships, please hit him,
yes,
up.
Yes, yes. Also follow Roy's golf account.
No, this is all you. This is all you.
No, but I feel like we all eat.
Alex can golf too. He's learning. So
yeah,
if anyone has free gear,
no,
free
mini
rounds.
Golf. Mini golf is, that's me.
He's too humble, man.
He's so good.
I don't even go with them because they're too far ahead that I'm just going to, I don't like being a burden, and I'm going to just slow everybody down.
It's so easy.
No.
It's the easiest thing
I've
ever done.
You guys
have
to wait an hour for me to find my ball in the woods.
Just drop
on
one.
Every
drop
hole.
One.
You get 2 minutes, and then you drop one.
Yeah,
that's
easy.
It. That's the rule.
Just 2 minutes?
Come with us,
yeah,
one time.
You only get 2 minutes to find your ball?
Yeah. It's fine. Come with us. It'll change your life.
I think about it.
All right.
You should.
You're getting it. You're getting
it. About it.
Paramount High School. We had a golf team. We also had riots, and we had like a lot of gang activity. But there was like a group of guys who were kind of like me that we would like hang out with the jocks. We'd hang out with like the cholos. We would hang out with. We had a little bit in common with everybody,
mm-hmm,
and it was PD Flo, Tim Chantaransu, Rick. He doesn't like using his name, but I guess Ricky Shucks.
Wait, Tim DeLaGhetto?
Tim DeLaGhetto, yeah. Tim DeLaGhetto.
You were there when he was there?
Yeah, we all graduated. I think they graduated a year before me, and then Super Ego, Eric.
Oh.
And we were all like, we all kind of knew of each other at the school. And then PD Flo would have these premieres during lunch.
For what?
They would let him use the school theater. for his movies because he was just making movies.
Oh, sick.
And he was still shooting on film and like DV8 and stuff. Back in my day, oh, he had a whole contraption.
Yeah, I believe it.
But he would make these movies and then he'd premiere them during lunch. And that's how we, like, the whole group got to know each other. Oh. And then YouTube, like, started.
Yeah.
So then they started, like, putting all their stuff on YouTube. And then on MySpace, he was big. They did the Kings of MySpace. You could roll the clip. I don't know if I was involved. I might have been in that. But then he did the Kings of YouTube. And then that one also took off.
So you guys, like, made videos together?
Yeah.
You guys?
We made videos together and separate. Like, one thing that I really, really liked about that group was that, like, they all kind of had their own thing going.
Yeah.
And my ass was like, oh, well, I'm gonna go become an actor, like a theater arts. I'm gonna learn the craft, the history of it. And they're like, you should post on YouTube. And then I was like, and then this like theater teacher was like, YouTube is a fad. It's gonna go away just as fast as it showed up. Film is where it's at. Film, theater, that's what you want to do. And then I was like, he's right.
How'd that play out?
I mean, look at what we're doing now. YouTube. Where is this gonna live?
YouTube. Yeah. So I mean, they're both right.
Yeah. Yeah. But but when they started getting those AdSense checks, I was like, and I was doing like plays for free.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
But yeah, so they all started YouTube, and then I would like work with Peter. I would work with Eric, and then Eric, just his network started growing, and then I met David. The first time we met David, he showed up and he came in hot. He came in like making fun of everyone. He came in like we were having a conversation, all the OG guys, like all the high school guys. And then he was just like, what are you guys talking about? Like that kind of energy.
Yeah.
And then he was like making jokes and trying to do puns because we would do these pun offs where it was like me and Tim, and we would just go head to head, like looking at stuff in the room. Like we'd be like, hey man, you just left me planted or whatever. And I was like, basically, you need to like, you know.
So you didn't like David at first?
No, I don't know if a lot of us liked David at first. the punchable face thing, that's where that came from. You guys had him on an episode.
Yeah, David Alvarezzi. He does, he said it himself, Jubilee type content, he says. Jubilee Junior.
Yeah. And so then he, so they said that he had a punchable face, and then he saw me. He started writing for Josh, which was Eric's roommate, and then he was like, hey man, I want to do comedy. Can you teach me how to do comedy? And I was like, whoa, boy, he like got me. Yeah. So I was like, I showed up with like all these folders, and I was like, these are my notes from the years. Look, people like the Groucho Marx, the freaking all that stuff. I was like trying to show him, and then I was like, you're way younger than I am. Go to LA, do all the classes, like the UCB classes, the Groundlings, do that. And then like, just check in with me so that way I could tell you like how to succeed, do all the, write all the mistakes that I made.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then he slowly like, I started writing for him. His channel started blowing up. And then he moved in with George. I moved in with him. He was friends with Aaron. He was going to all the like creator meetups and stuff. And then that's when it all came full circle.
Met your brother, Aaron, first. Aaron, where'd you meet Aaron?
I met Aaron through David. I don't know. David was just like, "Oh, Aaron wants to do something." And Dave, Aaron had an idea for a series. I don't know if he still wants to do it, but it was like a How I Met Your Mother for his future kids. About his relationship with his current wife. But he was like, not everybody knew that they were a couple, so he was like trying to write it so that way it could be like a. What are those called that they bury in the ground?
Time capsule.
Yeah.
And then you, how did you guys meet?
He started bringing me around. He was living with him.
Yeah.
That's
when me and Aaron lived together.
He
brought you over. I think that's how I met Jake. That's how I met a bunch of people. Yeah.
And I think all my roommates went over to Alex's house for a party, and he had like googly eyes all over his like furniture. And he had like a ping pong table. It was literally like if, they gave a 5-year-old millions and millions of dollars to design a house. like us walking in felt like that.
Yeah, he had the rope swing, the one with the rope swing.
No, the other.
Oh, there's
one,
this is before that one.
This is my other
house. This was before
This is the playpen one.
Yes.
Oh, ball pit, ball house.
No, no, that was apartment.
Oh, this was the one with the slide, the water slide. Or no, the trampolines. Which house?
This one had a ping pong table the minute you walked in.
This is
the
Studio City one. Oh, got it. I think we weren't.
It's not the arcade machine one, right?
No, no, no.
Okay, it's that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we went in there and it was just like expensive ass couches, this ping pong table. Like, he was like, oh, if you want something from the pantry, go ahead. And then I opened it and like they had every single drink possible. And I was like, holy, who is this guy? And he was like super nice. Every time I visited him, I left with a gift. He always made sure. He's like, oh, you got to take this. And I was like, what is this? He's like, oh, they sent it to me. And then I was like, I've been saving up to buy one of these. That's crazy. Like, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then Aaron was super nice, too. They were so nice, in fact, that, like, me and David had a conversation of, like...
Suspicion?
What? Are these people real?
That's crazy.
Like, are they... Why are they so nice? Like, there has to be a dark side. And we just got to know him, and then we like, kind of give Aaron a hard time.
Yeah.
And he'd just be like, oh, man. And I was like, holy sh-. These are... They're that nice. They're just very, very nice
people. North Carolina.
Yeah, yeah, dude. I feel you, though. There are a lot of, like, toxic, sketchy people here. Especially here in L.A.
Yeah, especially YouTube. In YouTube, there's so many people who are so focused on themselves that, like, when you're in their space, it almost feels like, hey, man. Like, we went to so many parties where, like, the guy would walk out and he'd be like, I don't know you. Go home. Mm-hmm. Like, we Ubered here and you know him.
Yeah.
And it was like when David was still kind of blowing up. So David would like try to have a conversation with him. They'd be like, oh, get out.
Yeah.
So we're like, all right,
dude,
you invited us.
Yeah. LA sucks in that sense. Like, if you, there's some people like, if you have numbers and somebody else doesn't, I've seen them just like not even talk. Like, they won't even acknowledge that there's a person standing next to them talking to them.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Or like if someone doesn't know who you are,
don't
really give you acknowledgement when you hang out with them the first time, and then they find your like channel or your socials, and then they just switch on.
And they're like, man, hey, we saw each other at that last party. Remember when I was ignoring you, but I'm not going to bring that
up?
Yeah,
exactly, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, that house was actually got shut down. It was during the pandemic that it got shut down. It was like Bryce Hall, and he was like throwing parties.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys remember? That was the party that like we got rejected from.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. Status. Mm-hmm. But that's what you get living here and working in this field. You already kind of expect that. It's just so disgusting seeing it and experience it in real life, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. If you don't benefit somebody, then they won't. They like, why would I talk to you? You're not gonna, you can't give me anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it was so nice to experience you and Aaron.
Yeah.
And then I found out Andrew was a thing. Mm-hmm. I found out he existed, and I was like, what? There's multiple?
Mm-hmm.
Multiple of these super nice people, and you were just so super cool, super carefree. Like, you oozed cool when I first met you. Oh. I was like, holy is like,
he's oozing right now.
He's
look.
Oozing cool.
I need to put some lotion on.
Because you were so carefree, so worried. Like, you didn't have a worry in the world. Like, you walked out to your living room once, and I was just there waiting for Aaron, and I was like, oh, I gotta go finish something. Like, just chill here. And so I was just in your, your house, in your couch. And then you walked out and you were like, just waking up or something. You're like,
pants, no pants.
No pants. No pants.
Yeah, it was
boxers. Boxers, no shirt. Just, he's like, what are you doing here? And I was like, oh, I'm here to see Aaron. And he's like, oh, okay. And he like pulls out his phone and he's like, and he just like walks away. And I was like, this guy is completely cool with this person who he's met a couple times just being in his house.
Now you guys are roommates.
And now we're roommates.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was crazy.
That's crazy. Wow. Yeah. He's seen me in my underwear a lot. He always has an underwear story. He's like, one time Aaron asked me to go get something from the house. We didn't know each other super well, but I came over and knocked on your door. You woke up in your underwear. You're like, you what? You
need
And he was like,
You didn't fully wake up the entire time I was there. You like walked out and you're like, and I was like, oh, Aaron wants me to pick something up for. I don't even remember what it was. I think it was for a video.
Yeah.
And so then, because I worked with Aaron for a little bit too. And I was like helping him make videos or like just kind of like, you know, just being around. And then he's like, okay. And he like opened this like this closet that I didn't even know existed. It was in the wall.
Yeah.
Like, he just opened this wall like Batman and, like, got the thing that I was looking for, and he, like, gave it to me. He's like, all right. And I was like, dude, it's 2 p.m.
Not in the Philippines. I was on Philippine. I'm half Filipino. You know, yeah. I was on Filipino time. Half the year I'm on
Filipino
time.
How does that work?
That was before I had a 9-to-5. Now, I kind of like it, though.
It's early, right?
It's early.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've been working out a lot, so sometimes we work out in the morning.
Yeah.
So we have to get up at like 7 or 6:45.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Did you guys have those YouTube days where you like stayed up till 4 in the morning, sometimes when the sun was rising, and then that was your bedtime?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Especially, yeah, when I was just a YouTuber on my own, just vlogging, I dictated my own hours. I like...
Yep.
I didn't have to like check in with anybody. I just sleep whenever I was tired.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, same. Yeah. Do I miss it? It was probably unhealthy.
Yeah.
But I miss it every now and then. Probably like once, twice a year. I'm like,
yeah.
I think the biggest difference for me with like doing a super flexible whenever schedule and having a 9-to-5 is I used to just go places. I used to be like, hey, let's go here. Let's go there for a week. Let's go there.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can't. Mm. But it's not a bad thing. It's probably better that I'm on a good sleep schedule. I heard sleep's like super
important.
Aren't
you going to North Carolina?
I am going to North Carolina, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can still do it. It's just a little more structure.
Yeah.
But plan it out.
Yeah, no, yeah, I got to plan it out, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to just, like, the next day.
On a whim, yeah.
Yeah.
My manager would be like, hey, they need you in New Zealand. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then I would just go the next day. Yeah. Or I'd be like, oh, you got to go Hawaii. Oh, do I get a plus one? Okay. And I just ask everybody until somebody says they're down, and then we go.
Yeah. It's still doable,
yeah.
It's just structure and planning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I took a flight to Seattle and drove to Vegas for no reason.
Whoa.
Pretty cool.
That's
how much time I had.
Yeah. I just feel bad. Like, especially if I can't keep leaving, or I'm like, oh, I gotta go, guys. I gotta go for a week.
Mm-hmm.
If there's not like a business reason, then I just feel bad.
Mm. No, you can plan it out. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to Japan. Yeah. You guys are fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's not business.
Yeah, yeah. True.
Plan it out. Don't feel bad.
We used to call those vampire hours
because
we were awake when all the vampires were. We would see like 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. Sometimes sunrise, like I said.
What were you doing?
Well, I was writing for PD Flow. We were doing... You guys remember Ray William Johnson?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Way William Johnson?
Way.
From Porky Pig. He had a Spanish version of his Equals 3, like, chant.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, of his series. And I was a writer on there. And my friend, who was, like, the host of it, had those vampire hours. So he would, like, we would clock in to work at 6 p.m. And then we'd be at Maker Studios, like, when it was completely empty. We would, like, ride scooters through everything. Just, like look at everybody's desk and stuff, just kind of everything was closed, so we would only eat like junk. But yeah, we would write it, and then we would finish the episode, we'd walk out, and the sun was like, it was daytime.
Yeah,
the grind.
I used to go to sleep when the sun was coming up. Yeah,
yeah, me too,
because I would just be busy or hanging out with girls or hanging out with friends, so I really like watching
Damn,
TV
girls,
so
what's that like?
So whenever I had free time, I would watch TV, and I didn't have free time, so I would just stay up all night watching TV, and then I would go to sleep at like 4 or 5, wake up at like 12.
And then Pablo's in the living room.
And then Pablo, Pablo usually, that was my alarm clock. He would wake me up at like 2 p.m. I'm like, dude, it is too early for this
There's a few times where I had a knock on your door, and I remember your bedroom was like forbidden, because the first party I went to your place, you didn't want people in there, so it was like, you can't go in there, and I think you even had like somebody standing out there. Like, we had a mutual friend standing outside of your door being like, you can't come in because you didn't want people in there, like, doing anything.
Which house? Woodland Hills?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I remember even, like, just knocking on that door. It was like, oh,
that's
it's
crazy.
Time to wake up the king.
Can you have some marshmallows for Aaron? Aaron's looking for marshmallows. That looks sweet.
And he's like, yeah, just go in the marshmallow room. And there's like a room full of marshmallows. And I'm like,
where is it? Oh, I just clicked. Pull that book.
Pull the book. Pass the pot. Go over there in the windmill. You'll see your marshmallows.
Yeah. Ask the butler. He's down there, I think, in the pit. But yeah, and then the first time you like let me use your restroom because all of them were full, I like went up to you and I was like almost like had my hat in my hands and I was like,
please, sir.
Hey, Alex, all the other restrooms are full. And I had like prepared this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you think I could use your restroom? And you're like, yeah, go ahead. Just don't mess it up.
It was the restroom with the giant penis hanging up in the ceiling?
That was not my bathroom.
Oh.
That was the other house.
Oh, the other house.
The other house, yeah.
I'm talking about the faucet.
It was that house. It was that house.
Yeah.
The viral sink that who posted that?
Ryan Abe came over to my house. I've lived there for like 2 or 3 years, and I had this crazy French fountain that came with the house. And when I was the guy was like selling me the house, he was like pointing out the cool stuff, and he's like, "Oh yeah, this is a $10,000 water fountain. It looked like a giant metal raindrop."
Yeah.
And I was like, "That's just unnecessary." And I never thought about it. I never used it because I was the guest bathroom. And then my friend Ryan Abe came over, and he randomly, I think we were in the pool, and he just went to the bathroom and he filmed, like, "Whoa, look at this crazy faucet." And then he's trying to
turn it on.
He couldn't figure out how to turn it on.
It was wild.
It's like a hidden lever, and he got like 30 million views. I was like, "Dang it, I should have posted that."
Bro, I used to call it the stalactite bathroom because it was just kind of hanging.
It was so random.
I'm like, "What the hell?" No one knew how to use it.
I forgot sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I go
that was crazy.
Like, "Oh, yeah, how do I do this again?" And then, oh, it's like hidden.
There's a switch.
Yeah, a little switch. Yeah,
I was like trying to figure it out the first time putting my hand. I thought it was like a sensor. I couldn't figure it out.
I had to ask Aaron. And then Aaron like walked in with me. He's like, "Oh, it's right there." And then I was like, "Whoa." I thought everything was on purpose. I literally like, I was like, "Why would somebody need this?" But I bet you like Alex Simon was like, "If this is an option, yes, I want it." Bro, I want it to rain water from the ceiling.
It was weird. It was
like literally, like all your places were just playgrounds.
Yeah,
you had a boxing ring in the backyard.
I know.
Yeah,
and I then he the garage was converted into like basically a full gym. Like it took me back to my wrestling days.
I'm very like homebody.
Yeah.
So I just try to make my home fun.
Yeah.
I want everything there. Like I had a giant room, so I put a giant rope swing in there.
Yeah,
you just swing around the whole room.
That was a challenge. I remember like coming in, you're like, "You have to see how far you can get." I was like, I don't have any upper body strength. You're like, "No, you have to do it." And I was like, "Oh." And then after you were like, "Okay, you don't have to do it." But everybody else, you were like, "Oh." And I think somebody went up there and you're like, this can't happen in my house." So you went up there and we're like up there doing stuff and like
it was dangerous. It was probably super dangerous. It said it could hold 3,000 pounds.
Nope.
So me and like three people got on there. So it was probably like 700, 800 pounds. And it was fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's wild. I remember the first time I went to your house too. You have that like walkway with the wine cellar.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was like, I was like, "Holy shit." He has like a sommelier that like walks in there.
Me?
And like, he's like, because like shows you the wine. And then I was like, "Oh, you like wine?" You're like, "No, I don't even drink." I was like, "Oh,
yeah. Your house is crazy too. You got a freaking
your gym
basketball
is awesome.
Court. You have a golfing center.
I mean, it just came with the house.
You have a movie theater. You have a gym.
You have a kiosk with assistance if you're lost.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a tiny plant room.
Yeah,
you do.
All right, okay. Cool guys.
Well, I'm cool just saying, guys. It was like cool, and it's
don't
like,
rob me
when you first like meet people like that. Like I couldn't believe how nice and genuine both of you were. And then I had heard all about you. I didn't know like the wasabi drama. I just knew that your channel ended in like wasabi and that you were known as Roy Wasabi, but I didn't like, I was trying to put it together of like what happened, and you were just like doing vlogs now.
Oh.
And then you were doing like guava juice.
Yeah.
And then like I was slowly putting all the pieces together, and I remember like trying to ask your friends like, "Hey, so where's Roy? Hasn't been around lately." Mm-hmm. And they're like, "Oh, they actually like, you know, had like, they broke up and they like had a little tiff or whatever." And I was like, oh yeah, I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally met you, and both of you were on set, and then like that was a little confusing too because I was like, I think you guys didn't like each other.
Yeah, that was.
And then I saw
the
that you
ones.
Were like doing a ton of videos with them. I was like, if they don't like each other, why did he just post a video with?
Well, that was like 3 years after.
Yeah,
or 3 or 4 years after. So you probably got there right when we started reconciling.
Damn.
Yeah.
I was the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no, I can't take any credit for that. I didn't know you guys.
Take the bridge.
Well
take the bridge. You're the bridge. You're part of the bridge.
No.
Okay.
I'm on the bridge, I guess.
Oh, what are you?
I'm on the bridge and I'm going to jump.
No, I'm just kidding. Manuel, what do you think? You think he's the bridge? I think he's the bridge. I think Pablo the bridge. What do you say?
Yeah.
See, I told you, Pablo. Oh, you're the bridge.
Take the credit.
Okay, fine. I'll take
the
credit.
Of,
I got him back together.
Bridge. Part his part of it. Not fully, but
he is a bridge.
He is.
He's a bridge.
Yeah?
Oh. Mm. You know, I saw something interesting online. I want to bring it up.
Let's hear it.
Emotions.
Uh-huh.
You know what anxiety, jealousy, nostalgia, and horror have in common?
Whore?
Horror.
What?
They don't exist. Ooh, didn't see it coming.
They do exist.
No, they don't.
They do exist, Alex.
Kind of.
Why do I have 2 out of 3 of them?
Why are they words in the dictionary? How do you decide what exists and what doesn't?
Well, this is what the clip I saw stated. They said there are 4 main emotions. There's glad, sad, mad, and fear. Everything else, all the other emotions you could think of, are just mixes of these 4 emotions.
Okay. What's anxiety?
It's when fear is turned up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's not combined with another emotion?
Probably sad.
Fear and sad?
Yeah. Whoa. Like scared and sad.
That makes sense.
Whoa. Yeah. What other emotions are there?
Horny. What's horny?
Probably happy and happy.
Stop.
Glad and then...
mad and fear.
Mad.
Horny?
Yeah, you ever been so like rubbed up that you're mad?
Yeah.
That you're like, oh, I need to get this out.
No.
Oh, damn.
Not me.
No.
It's okay.
No, it's okay.
Me and Andrew fought yesterday.
Wow.
Like vocally?
No, we put boxing gloves on.
Oh, you actually fought?
Yeah, because
like sparring?
Is that why you're wearing glasses? Are you covering a black eye? No. Let me
but
see.
I did get them, though.
Well, let me
what
see.
What do you mean?
Let me see. Take the glasses off. Whoa.
No.
Whoa.
I didn't. We were going
wow,
light.
He's got a shiner.
No, we were going super light. But I was like, you just gotta, I think
his
the main
whole right
thing,
eye is purple.
I think the main thing that people need, even if you don't want to like do combat sports, you need to get used to a punch coming at you.
Mm.
Because a natural response, what I had and what he has, what everybody has, if you get punched, you go like this. You close your eyes and you kind of just put your hands up.
Mm.
But then you don't see anything. So you got to be able, if you're going to get punched, you got to see it coming. And that's what I'm trying to bestow upon him.
Oh,
that's
a good
one. I was
like,
if you ever do have to get in a fight or something happens, don't close your eyes.
Be alert. That's what I did wrong when I was younger and getting bullied. I kept my eyes closed. I should have just been like watching it so I could remember it forever.
Yeah.
That's a good tip.
Yeah,
because instinctively you want to do that.
You want to close your eyes.
So
yeah.
you're trying to reverse neurologically.
Yeah.
Get to the point.
So
okay.
There was like a one round where I was like, I'm gonna just punch you, and then you just defend it, but try to keep your eyes open.
Yeah.
So I would punch, and then he would block it, but he would still go like this, and I was like, just you're blocking it, you're doing it right. You just gotta not close your eyes.
It's like when I first moved in, and you're like, all right, we're all gonna have to get kicked in the stomach, and then he got kicked. And I got kicked.
Okay, that was.
And then it was up to you, and you're like, no, you guys don't know how to kick. I'm not going to get kicked. And you didn't get kicked. And then you were trying to show us how to kick you, but you still never let us kick you.
We have fun.
Yeah, I know.
This round, I get to use weapons, but I just need you to defend.
Yeah.
That's all I need you to do.
What other antics does Alex get you to being his roommate?
Oh, man.
There's not many.
There's a ton. It's literally an antic every day.
What?
Yes, there's always a new antic.
Like what?
Like, it needs more time.
It needs more time.
See, I don't even know what that means.
It needs more time is like, we were heating up rice on the microwave, and I think Alexis just said, oh, it needs more time. And then he just started singing a song.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, oh, man, you know what was crazy? It was like, David used to sing. I used to live with David.
Yeah.
And he used to sing all the time about everything. And I was like, ah. At first, I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of fun. But then it's like, everything's a song. And then I was like, oh, man, everything's a song. And then he started doing that. And then they started a chorus of It Needs More Time, where even Andrew sings It Needs More Time.
It's a good song. Good song.
No, I believe that. Isn't it?
That's like one antic.
That's
though.
One antic.
That's it.
There's the, okay, when we go stretching. So he's taking me to get a few stretches. He makes stuff up for the masseuses like every single time.
Yeah.
Like one time, the first time I went there, he's like, oh, he's never been stretched like in his life. Like, I don't think he's ever like even reached down and touched his toes.
Yeah.
Like, he's just never stretched any part of his body.
Mm-hmm.
So then I could feel the guy being like super gentle with me. He's like, oh, wow. Okay.
No.
Okay. Here we go. And then he told him last time, what did you tell him?
Oh,
that I wanted a match with you because he like always loses his socks and you need the Pilates socks. So I bought a pack and I was like, okay, I'll give you one. And then he doesn't know where his are. So then I was like, okay, I have a second one here. And then he wore them. And then the first thing he tells him is like, bro. Oh, he like told us, like, hey, can we please match? And he did this like really zesty impression on me. And they're like, oh, and they all think that he's being serious. So they're like, oh, that's cute. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's so cute that you guys are
and
doing
that. And I was like, yeah, we got matching nose rings on the same side and everything.
Like, we just moved in together. And they're like, they're all thinking like, oh, these guys are definitely like doing each other.
And then they were like, who has the gallon water jug? And then he was like, oh, that's mine. And I was like, yeah, at work we call him Chug Lug. And then he was like, Chug Lug. Oh, okay. And they just believe everything because they don't know us. Yeah, so it's fun. It's good times.
Wow. Love it.
Meanwhile, like, there's a guy who has like my foot over my neck and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Because it's like his first time stretching. He's never stretched before.
Yeah, for sure.
Dang. All right. Well, just letting you know, it gets worse.
Oh.
If he gets randomly kidnapped,
I'm not going
don't be
after
surprised.
Him.
Don't chase after him.
I'm not going after.
It's a prank. It's
but
gonna
what
be a
if
prank.
It's real that time.
If it's real, you can defend yourself, real, dude. Just stay.
You can
keep
defend
your
yourself.
Eyes open as they're punching you.
That's good advice. That's good advice. That's good advice right there.
Yeah. Just make sure you're tracking.
But
every-
it's all for love.
Yeah.
All for love.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all
good
it's
heart.
All
good intentions. Great intentions.
It's so funny because I know him from both sides. Like when you surprised him, I'm sure in your head you're like, oh, it's gonna be so sweet. He's gonna be like, brother, and he's gonna run and he's gonna hug me, and then everybody's gonna clap in this. But to Andrew, I know Andrew personally, and the thing that he wants the most.
Oh, you're talking about school.
Yeah.
Oh,
the school. Yeah. The thing that Andrew wants the most is to like chill.
Blend in, yeah.
To just chill. He doesn't want to bring any attention to himself. He wants to be in a room and be able to like move freely without everybody staring at him. Like, if we stared at him, I bet you he'd get uncomfortable.
He's a different man now.
I'm different now, Pablo.
Okay.
He wants the attention.
Okay.
You do?
Yeah.
How did you get the role in Superstore? You were in the show Superstore.
Yeah, I was on
that
the
was
NBC
show
Superstore, yeah.
Every time you mentioned Superstore, I thought it was a place that you worked
at. You thought I worked at a Walmart?
I don't know. I don't know what Superstore was. I thought it was like a big chain that you were
that
like.
I worked at a Walmart. I was super proud that I worked at a Walmart. Yeah.
Walmart Superstore. Hey,
guys, I gave the best customer service.
It's a show?
Yeah, it was a show. It had Ben Feldman, America Ferrara,
wow.
Nicole Bloom, or she went by Nicole Bloom. Now she's Sakura. Colton Dunn was the guy in the wheelchair. So the way that I got Superstore was the AD was the same guy that was the AD in the Muppets.
Oh,
and
I
did the Muppets first, and the Muppets shot on Disney. Yeah,
wait,
on the Disney
voice,
lot.
Or you were like
no. So they had a live action show.
Okay, yeah. Let's go back.
Okay,
how do you get the Muppets leading
how
to
I
you
get
Superstore?
The Muppets? So I had been doing improv in LA for a while.
Yeah,
I had been doing UCB. I finished a program. I did the Groundlings. I performed at IO Second City. And then I was doing this theater called The Nerdist.
Mm-hmm.
That like, do you guys know The Nerdist brand? It's like Chris Hardwick. It's like comic books. And do you know The Nerdist? Oh, it's probably, outdated now.
It's okay. I don't know pop culture.
But it's still, it's like, it is kind of dated. It became The Ruby. But anyways, I was performing. And then after the show, somebody came up to me and was like, hey, I might have a gig for you.
Mm.
And then I was like, oh, cool. I love jobs and I need money. And then he like connected me through email and the guy was like, hey, can I see a headshot, how tall you are, like full body, whatever. And I was like, all right. So I sent all my photos and my info. And then I saw like a little, like his signature had the Muppets on it.
Ooh.
And I was like, what the hell is this? And I love the Muppets, you know, like Kermit and like, the whole thing I knew about Jim Henson, like all the puppeteering and stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Kermit D. Frog here.
So then he's like, okay, we're gonna hire you for one day. It's technically background work, but you're in every scene with like Kermit and Miss Piggy. So they had a show on ABC that was supposed to be like The Office, but with Muppets, and it was like supposed to be like how like the behind the scenes of the Muppet Show. And if you guys know the Muppet Show, it's like, hey everybody, it's a Muppet Show, and then they like shoot Gonzo.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be behind the scenes, and I was like a PA or some kind of crew person that always had a headset and was like, hey Pablo, did you get all the stuff ready on the set? And I'd be like, oh yeah, Mr.
They used your name?
Yeah, they actually used my name on the show.
Oh my god,
we should watch that. Yeah. I think we should watch Superstore.
Yeah, you should watch. Yeah,
do you have any posters?
I love the Muppets, and it was like such a great experience. I loved going to work every single day. I was technically on a background contract, but like I got to meet the puppeteers, and those guys are so nice.
Aww.
Like the behind the scenes were just as funny, if not funnier, than the actual show.
Yeah.
Because they got to like say whatever they wanted, and they would just improv as the characters. And it was like, so the way that they shot that was there was like an elevated stage 4 feet off the ground, and then it was the puppeteers, and they were standing up.
Oh, that'd be nice.
And that's why I got cast, because I was short. And then they were like, the puppeteers are tired of being on this like device that like they're laying down the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be standing up. So they all stood up, and they built all these things, and people fell off of them all the time. But that's how we would shoot the scenes. The camera crew and everybody would be there, and they have like a TV right here, and they just have the puppet, and there's like two people operating the puppet. One just does the arms,
mm-hmm.
and the other does the voice and maybe one arm. And it was great. I got to meet Steve Whitmire, or
mm-hmm.
he was Kermit. I got to meet all the OGs, Bill Beretta.
Wow.
And that was really cool. And then at the end, I became friends with the creature shop, is like what they call the people who actually like
make it. That's so sick.
And you should see, like, he would open this thing, this chest that was on wheels, and there was like every Kermit face ever.
It was like the Toy Story.
Yeah.
Like when he opened, he had all the eyes and everything.
Yeah. That's crazy. It was like that. So he had like stuffing for them, and he's like, he would just do surgery like on the fly. And you could see like the minute they put it on, like it was like the character woke up. It was crazy. It was wild. It was such a good experience.
Willy Wonka. That they were puppets?
Yes. You thought they were real?
No, I thought they were like robots. Because I know like Sesame Street, I was like, oh, that's big enough for a human to fit in those costumes.
Yeah.
But I just assumed the little ones, because I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I assumed the little ones were little robots because people can't fit in there.
You didn't really notice Muppets rhyme with puppets?
I did not.
Oh.
That's how I figured it out.
Yeah.
Muppet puppet.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I was dumb.
No, you weren't dumb. You just had a bigger imagination.
Maybe he was dumb.
No.
I'm just saying.
Sometimes.
He said it. Not me.
I think everybody's dumb sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100%.
I'm just a little bit more than others.
People have like lapses of judgment, and other people believe in imaginary friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang. If you could have an imaginary friend, would you get one?
Yeah, of course.
Me too.
It probably looked like Gonzo.
Oh, Gonzo.
Yeah, Gonzo.
Yeah.
Either Gonzo or Squidward.
Yeah. Gonzo was so cool.
Or Usopp from One Piece. Yeah.
I don't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know pop culture.
Yeah.
So, Superstore.
Yeah. So then the AD, which is the assistant director for the Muppets, the show got canceled. And it, like, halfway through, they switched showrunners. And everybody cried on set when, like, the guy who, like, made it happen got, like, replaced, and everybody was crying. And then the show ended, and they didn't get picked up for a second season, and then they replaced Kermit right after. So it was like a whole sad thing. And they got the guy who did Constantine.
Mm-hmm.
He became the actual Kermit.
Mm.
And I don't know what it was, but after that, the AD was like, hey man, I really liked working with you. You're funny, you're this, you're that. I'm working on another show on NBC called Superstore. Would you be interested? And I was like, absolutely. So he brought me in, and this is like goes back to my name being so common. Is so he has to hire me through this like agency called Central Casting,
mm-hmm.
which is where most people go to get extra work. And they didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
Because there were so many Pablo Hernandez, or there were so many people with my name. And I remember showing up, and there was like another guy with my name. And he was like very different from me.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the celebrity, but it was like a guy. And I was like, oh, hey, how you doing? And he's like, hi. And then his voucher, like his contract was like super nice. And mine was like, they had just filled it out because they like didn't know
mm-hmm.
I was coming. And then that guy just stopped showing up. The next day he was gone. But it was because they didn't know which one I was.
Oh.
But it was like, oh, you know,
yeah.
that's how it is. I'm actually banned from there.
Why?
Because on Superstore, there was like a thing where I was just joking around with this guy, and I said that we had a fight club.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, hey, you want to join the Superstore fight club? And then he was like kind of new, and also like I was trying to include him in stuff because he was like new. And
yeah,
he had been there like enough times that I was like, I'm gonna be his friend. And apparently that rubbed him the wrong way, so he like reported me. And then like the AD, it wasn't the AD who hired me, it was a different AD.
Oh.
She didn't know, so she was like, oh, that can't happen on this set, I'm shutting it down. And so I just, the next, I got a call when I was driving home. And it was like, hey, don't show up tomorrow. We'll call you if you like are put back on the list. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I got a call the next day, and I was like, it was right before Christmas too. So I was like, oh,
wow. That sucks.
And they called me, and then it was like HR or whatever. And they're like, hey, so we're just trying to get to the bottom of it. And I thought they were being helpful. So I was like, oh, this is a misunderstanding. Let me try to figure it out for you. And, yeah, she basically was like, hey, do you joke around a lot at work? And I didn't want to seem like I
goof off.
You know, like goof off. So mm-hmm. I was like, no, I'm pretty serious. So then they're like, oh, he's serious about the Fight Club,
mm-hmm.
I guess, or whatever.
Why
whatever
would they
it was.
Think that?
Oh,
I don't know.
That's
I guess,
crazy.
But it was like, it was during the like a bunch of stuff was happening in Hollywood where everybody was kind of getting exposed, and a bunch of stuff was mm-hmm. happening where people were losing their jobs.
Yeah.
So I think the AD was like trying to be on the safe side and shut it down because somebody felt unsafe around mm-hmm. me. And yeah, so I got fired for having a Fight Club.
Did you? So what happened to the Fight Club? Did it have to disband?
It's still going on.
Oh.
Well, I can't talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Wow. Well, I'm sorry that happened.
Yeah, Andrew's in it, but he's in the level where you just have to like get punched.
Keep
you can't,
your eyes
you
open.
Can't, yeah, you can't throw a punch.
Is Superstore still running or no?
No, Superstore.
See, so that sounds like a store.
The pandemic
like
happened.
Uh-huh.
After that Christmas, the pandemic happened like the next year or maybe like 2 years after that.
Yeah.
And then America Ferrara was executive producer on there.
How many seasons was this Superstore show?
Six.
And how many episodes are you in?
I started in season two and then I went all the way through season four.
Oh, wow.
You should watch just that, those seasons.
Yeah. I just remembered seeing the set or the exterior shot of the set driving Barham
mm-hmm.
towards like Universal Studios. I was like, oh, Superstore.
Yeah.
That's so sick.
Those days were probably the worst.
Really?
Because the sun was always like blaring. We were supposed to be like in Minnesota or something. We were supposed to be in St. Louis. And they'd have to hire trucks to like fill it with snow. Or if it was like summer, then they had to make it seem like it was like a Midwest summer.
Oh.
And there was like no shade because Universal just kind of made this exterior
mm-hmm.
just for like these basic scenes. And then you'd walk in there and there was like no store. So if you were like an employee and you were like walking through, you'd have to like stay still in this really narrow area with like a bunch of fake shoppers and a bunch of fake employees. And we were all just like standing there.
So the store wasn't in that building?
No, that was just the exterior.
Got
that was literally just a wall that made it look with sliding doors, and the sliding doors are fake.
Oh.
So there was a guy operating the sliding doors every single time.
So it was a facade. It was a flat.
Yeah, it was all facade. Yeah.
Damn, got my ass.
Yeah,
really
it was
good.
All facade. And then there was no actual store inside. And in the studio, there was like actual store. Like it was two or three studios with like a whole store setup.
Yeah.
Like we used to hang out in Sporting Goods sometimes, or we'd be like at the cafe when we weren't shooting scenes and stuff. Everything was fake, but.
Is it stressful being in like those huge sets? Because right now, YouTube is like YouTube. But.
Yeah. It really depends. I definitely feel like it becomes like kind of like a tribe mentality. Where if the crew's having a bad time, then it starts to trickle down to everybody. If anybody's having a bad time, if it doesn't get corrected quickly, then it's just like morale is down.
So it's the same everywhere.
It's the same everywhere, yeah.
I remember I would be on set for like cameos or like whatever shows. And it was so, like, I would sometimes see the crew or people just, like, panicking or, like, something's going on. But, like, the number one priority is to keep the talent relaxed or, like, don't let him see.
Yeah.
So I would just see everybody scrambling and everybody freaking out. And then there's, like, they would be like, oh, and then they'd stop and be like, you good? You need water? You need anything? I'm like, no, I'm good. And then they'd be like, okay. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. It's so stressful.
Yeah, you were probably dealing with the PAs. So there's a hierarchy system too, where there's like the directors and then there's like the assistant directors, and there's like the DP also gets like its own. They have like parking spots. It literally is like a whole like feudal system where the people who have paid their dues and are important to the show get all these perks. Mm-hmm. They get whatever they want. They could like have a that the famous thing is like have the PA go get me coffee from this specific thing. It's the because they've earned it. No, the directors. Oh, anybody yeah. can say that. Anybody with power who's like on the yeah. the upper half.
Well,
yeah. So they could be like that. And so these PAs who are like trying to be directors or ADs or something on set would just be like they're forced to just do all the running. Mm-hmm. And they're getting paid like minimum wage for being on set and doing like keeping the set running as smoothly as like anybody yeah. else. But it's like a fraternity, you know?
Yeah.
These people have been there longer. And you're just trying to come in, so they like boss him around. They treat him
like David,
like in the yeah. beginning, yeah. exactly. Mm-hmm. David wanted to just surpass that yep. and go right to the top,
mm-hmm.
but he had to do the PA stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You had to do pay your dues, is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. It's different being a YouTuber than in the traditional media because YouTuber you kind of have a bunch of hats. You're not just the talent. Like you got to write some, you got to direct some, you got to do everything. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I remember it would be like a vacation when I had to go on set for something.
Oh yeah,
I just go into like a nice AC room with a
talent.
TV,
just
so much,
talent.
So many snacks.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then I just hear people running around outside, and I'm like,
I only have one hat today,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, and that was the biggest thing too that caused like tension in like the entertainment industry was that all these jobs that were like specifically and they were very focused on production, making production run smoothly. Were not necessary on YouTube because mm-hmm. everybody was kind of like a one-man crew.
Self-sufficient, yeah. They're
yeah,
just like, let's
all
go.
The creators were like, well, yeah, I'll do it for like this amount of money. And then like Hollywood was like, what?
Yeah.
That's like one guy's salary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're willing to do it for that? And then like, yeah. So then they're like, all right, and you get all those views?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we're just going to dump into this and then just forget about these guys.
Oh, dang.
And so then it started, like, kind of creating this, like, tension between, like, union and not union.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, the Wild West. And then, like, agencies started, like, shifting to YouTube and the internet.
I remember when actors just, every day, there would be a new interview of some actor being like, oh, YouTubers suck. YouTubers mm-hmm. this. They're not, they're, like, they're... And I was like, whoa, like, we didn't do anything to you guys. Like,
yeah, I mean.
They hated us.
The word YouTuber is different now than what it was
yeah,
back in
yeah.
the
True.
Day. Because back in the day, you associate YouTuber with, like.
Super looked down upon.
Yeah, or, like, yeah. it associates with, like, slime mm. or, like, you know, just loud, yep. like, Jake Pauly stuff.
Yeah.
But now
yeah.
it's, like, so diverse in its own way. We have, like, different genres of YouTube, like the Marques Brownlees
yeah.
and, like, the cinematic
yeah.
side of YouTube.
I always thought it was weird because I'm like, they would say that we're just doing nothing. We're just getting paid too much like for doing nothing, but they know what goes on for their show to work. Like they have so many things that have to happen and they just assume that YouTubers don't. And I'm like, wait, it's still editing has to happen, ideation still has to happen, filming still has to happen, like you have to like get other people involved. So it's a lot. So I always thought that was weird. I'm like, they know better than
it just kind of changed the whole process that had been like in the making for years. Because when the entertainment first started, it was like a studio system.
Mm-hmm.
So the studio owned everything. Mm-hmm. They owned the directors. They owned the actors. They owned, like, you couldn't make movies outside of your studio.
Mm-hmm.
So then the unions kind of broke that up. And so then they were finally getting power and they were finally getting equity from these, like, multi-million dollar profit productions.
Yep.
They were finally getting their piece. And then a new thing happened.
Yeah.
And then they're like, we'll do it for $1,000.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what? Yeah, we'll do a Tide commercial for $1,000.
Yeah.
And then it's like, but years of fighting
yeah.
to get
yeah.
like equity.
Yeah, time changes, man.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be AI is probably next.
That's true.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and that actually, one thing that I wanted to talk to you guys about was like adapting.
Exactly.
And now there's like Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat,
mm-hmm.
and there's like all these, each one has its own creators and its own like ranking system.
It's ups and downs for everybody. You gotta adapt. Like people can drop from the top, like Jonathan Majors.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
That was crazy. DaBaby.
He was gone. He was everywhere.
DaBaby.
He's doing so many classes.
All the greats.
He was
Jonathan
gone.
Majors. DaBaby.
No, just like from being at the top to dropping.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. Yeah. Like, I thought Jonathan Majors was going to be the next Denzel.
He's a good actor.
He was the main villain in Creed 3, which was a huge hit. I think he did better than the other Creeds. And then he was the main Marvel villain. Damn. Like, he was going to be, he probably had like 15 movies lined up. He's going to be in at least a little bit in every single movie coming out. And they completely shifted.
Do you think being the villain, like in acting, because you know how like actors love to take their process seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that takes a toll on somebody's like psychology? Like, do you think he was so used to being unliked as a character that he like became unlikable in real life?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or like his life has like turmoil because of it. And so that's how he can tap into all the bad parts.
Exactly. Do you think that's what happened to Heath
Ledger?
With the Joker? Probably.
Yeah.
Because it's coincidental that it's like right after, right?
Yeah.
And he like, I remember seeing interviews, like he went deep into that character. Yeah. And
that's why it's so well.
He couldn't sleep. Yeah. He was doing the vampire hours.
Same with Austin Butler with Elvis. He like couldn't get rid of the accent for a long time, or it could have been a marketing thing. But he said he still had a little bit of Elvis accent because he was stuck.
Yeah. Well, you know what I noticed too is I went to a theater art school for college and I felt like some people are actory just to be actory.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's some people like that Elvis thing kind of reminded me of some people in class that are like, I'm just too deep in character. I can't shake them. And it's like, shut your bitch ass up.
Yeah.
Look, nobody's watching you anymore. Like, stop. But they're like, ah. And then I bet you they're not ordering like Taco Bell or whatever like that. They're not like, hey, one Chalupa Supreme, please. Like, come on.
No, I feel you. That happened to me when I did Double Dare and I was going against Drake Bell.
Yeah.
I introduced myself, like, hey, Roy. He's like, oh, Drake. And he like turns over and did like a Charlie Chaplin impression to like one of the camera crew. I was like, what the? This is random?
Yeah.
All right. That's who he is then. I don't know if that's just him trying to get attention, but I'm just like, that's just so random to do. Yeah. Maybe it's just mentality. Like, oh, I'm going to do impressions.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Something that would happen on All That or like Amanda Bynes show.
Yeah. I'm like, this is random.
I wonder if he was like working on an audition for Charlie Chaplin.
I don't know.
And then, because I get that. I get like, you know, an athlete, you see like your friend who played basketball and who's like trying to go pro. He's always like pretending to like do the shot. I wonder if that is the equivalent of like seeing an actor just be like.
Yeah, it was very odd.
Like they're kind of doing their job.
Yeah.
Just practicing.
Exactly.
But yeah, I guess to everybody else it's just annoying.
Yeah. Entertainment business, man. It's
weird.
There's a lot of weird things.
It's weird.
Going on even in the shadows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the weirdest thing you've experienced?
Me?
Yeah. Since like becoming who you are. Like in showbiz or anything.
Like after moving to LA.
Yeah.
I'm just here.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the set of The Duff.
Oh, okay.
We were on the set. And then Bella Thorne, Ken Jeong, Robbie Amell. And it was cool. And then when the director or whoever was like corralling us, was like, oh, here, meet Bella. And then I was like, hey, Bella. And she's like, hey, what's your name? I was like, Alex. She's like, I can do this weird thing with my chest. And I was like, what? And then she grabbed my hand and put it on her sternum and she could like pop it like a double jointed kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I just always thought that. I was like, whoa, she's so generous.
What the? Dang.
It was weird.
You crazy.
Yeah, for me, nothing surprising. I mean, probably the Drake Bell thing.
Yeah.
Just like, luckily nothing like crazier or darker.
On set, you deal with so many people that there was like this one guy, I won't say the show and I won't say like what he did, but you could slowly see him declining into like just strange behavior. Like he was collecting his urine. And if people on set know, if it gets to the point where you like people on set know that you're collecting your urine, like that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And I think he was like going through, I don't know. There was like a whole bunch of stuff he was doing. But it's just kind of like, I guess it's part of the industry because it like takes a toll on you mentally if you're not constantly checking in or constantly like finding a way to ground yourself or.
Yes.
There's something else that I was like, what? So random. But usually like YouTubers, like throughout our 18 years or something, there would always be like a new YouTuber pop up, a new YouTuber pop up. And then I would meet them at an event or something, and they would be like, oh, they know who I am. I'm like, oh, cool. And the amount of times, this is going to sound weird, but the amount of times I've met a new poppin' YouTuber in person, and then they just drop the N-word like it's nothing. And I'm like, whoa. And they're like, definitely not from LA. They're from some like New York or Canada or like North Carolina, somewhere where it's like okay to say that if you're not black. And they would just be saying it like nothing. And then I would have to, and this has happened like probably at least 8 times where I'm like, hey, 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 you can't say that. You're a YouTuber now. Now you have an audience. Now you're in California. They're very sensitive to that. You can't do this. And I've had to explain that so many times. Damn. And you would be shocked. I'll tell you after the podcast, the list of people, and you'll be like, no way. He used to do that. She used to do that. I'm like, yeah.
No, I've experienced it. You know, my friends have been like YouTube in the upper echelon for like whiles. There's this like phenomenon that I've never like given a word to, but it's when you meet a YouTuber and you realize that they are the person who they're portraying.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you're like, holy crap, like, I thought that was a character.
Yeah.
And then they're just like oddballs, or it's just kind of like, you're like, whoa.
Bro, yes.
I think we both fell under that category.
Because
like when we were younger, we were just being ourselves, except unless we were being Richard Orlando. But other than that,
sure.
And then I remember people being shocked. They're like, whoa, you guys are really like this energetic and this random. And we're like, yeah. And then we got older, and then we had to play the character of what we were when we were younger. But we did fall under that.
Yeah.
People were always shocked.
Wow. Like, well, it was opposite for me, for guava juice.
Yeah.
Guava juice, it's like me on cocaine.
Yeah.
And then when people meet me in real life, you're like, say something funny, man. I was like, I had that experience once.
Yeah.
I went to this ramen shop, and then one of the workers knew me. And then all of a sudden, she said, say something funny. I was like, what the
Yeah.
I was like, chicken.
And she started laughing. I'm like, all right.
I didn't know what to say. I was under pressure.
Yeah, it's weird.
Because she thought I was, I don't know, she was expecting me to be crazy.
Crazy.
Like, yeah. I wonder if I bet you people experience the opposite when they meet, like, me and you. Because I was like, for the most part, people knew me playing a Mexican dad in Super Ego stuff.
Yep.
And so when they would meet me, they couldn't believe that I spoke English as well as I do. And then they also...
I'm still surprised
by that. Jesus. They thought that I was like that character. So they're like, hey, dude, where's your kid? And then I've had some women who like, they're like, oh, I thought you were older.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, I'm just me. And then a lot of people are like, oh, you're kind of boring compared to like the character that I play. I remember when I first met you, I didn't know what to expect because I just knew all the antics, and then you were so calm and like to yourself, and your timing was amazing because you would just sit there and listen to a conversation, like watch people, and then you would make one comment and it would just bring the house down because you'd be like and it was like a callback or like a really quick quip, but it was like bam, and then I was like, oh damn, he's got it.
Yeah, my dad I learned it from my dad. My dad does it all the time. Yeah. Kind of like how you got it from your parents. I got at least my timing and my sense of humor from my parents as well.
Yeah, it was like, and then the like mispronouncing words, I bet you it was like a little bit of like, you know, English is new or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so you learned it, but then you like saw the comedic value. So sometimes you like, I don't give a shit. I'm going to say this wrong.
Or I
like,
say it
whatever,
wrong.
And I don't care.
I don't.
And then it's just funny to that like the effect that it has, and props, dude. I really noticed it.
Appreciate you, brother.
Let's do our secret handshake.
All right, well, Pablo, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We really appreciate your humor and your time, and I really do love your comedy and the work you put and the research you put to kind of developing your craft, sir.
I love knowing stuff.
If you want the extended cut, go to our patreon.com/wasabiproductions and you'll see a lot more there, including the list of YouTubers that said the bad words.
Maybe. I don't know. Go check it out. Maybe. Right. It's free.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Okay. Bye.